Interpreting the Media, an Introduction Student, Jyoti Mishra Lecture, Dr. Glenn Krieber Module, EURM 1A01, Using Marxist Concepts of Ideology, How Does Contemporary Hip-Hop Address Black Experience in Political Terms? In early 1994, the National Political Congress of Black Women, NPCBW, managed to lobby the US Congress into holding hearings, the purpose of which was to silence so-called gangsta rappers. The sum of its argument was that this form of music was a pernicious influence on black children and indeed challenged the heart of American morality. In the course of this essay, I am going to argue that this kind of attack is proof of the ideological power of contemporary hip-hop and is part of the reason that hip-hop culture plays a defining role in the politics of black youth. I shall also try and analyze hip-hop in terms of three varying Marxist views of ideology, classical, Althusserian, and Gramscian. Is hip-hop merely the bourgeois ideology of patriarchy and wealth acquisition repackaged for an urban audience? Or is there a hegemonic struggle taking place within its text? How does the politics of hip-hop address dominant ideology? Stances to ideological theory, seeing the nexus here between race and class position to be very strong. First, it may be useful to lay a general background to the Marxist approaches I shall be taking. Karl Marx and Friedrich Engels published their Communist Manifesto in 1848. Although many other communisms and utopian socialisms had predated their theories, this document was so influential that Marxism came to be the dominating force in socialist politics. Bellamy and Ross, 1996, 230. In their 1846 publication, The German Ideology, Marx and Engels developed the notion of ideology. In their formulation, capitalist society was divided up into two classes, the bourgeoisie who owned the means of production and the proletariat who had to sell their lab hour to survive. Dolores Tucker, the main force behind the NPCBW, linked arms with Martin Luther King and marched for a better, integrated America where blacks would finally be entitled to a slice of the apple pie. That was in the 1960s, and for the majority of blacks, conditions have not improved. As pointed out by George Lipsitz, there is a visible black middle class in the 1990s, but this is a slight achievement when compared with average black America. In 1989, the child poverty rate for whites stood at 11.8%. For blacks it was 43.7, with the trend rising, not falling. Lipsitz, 1994, 18. The infant mortality rate stands at 9.8 per thousand for white babies, whilst it totals 18.2 for black babies and 22 for blacks and Latinos born in South Central LA. Between 1965 and 1990, Black family income fell by 50%, while black youth unemployment quadrupled, and white youth unemployment remained steady. COVID-19. While all of working class America has been plunging by world recession, black people are found consistently at the bottom of the pile. As if to add insult to injury, there has been a concomitant demonization of blacks, specifically young urban males, and hip-hop culture in that crucialism, the mass media. As Douglas Kellner says, the assault on rap is perhaps unprecedented in media history. During the last months of 1993 and early 1994, literally hundreds of articles appeared on the topics of rap and violence. This is symptomatic of the negative attack on young black men in contemporary society. Kellner 1995, 190. So, for blacks, the struggle against bourgeois ideology is in part always a struggle against the hegemony of white cultural values and norms. By the white mass media that it is now synonymous with all rap. Marriott 1994, 64. All the predecessors like Ice-T, School and D, and DDP can all lay claim to the title of original gangster. The first group to earn middle America enough to deserve a media tag was N.W.A. As Nelson George said, N.W.A. were to the 80s what the Beach Boys were to the 60s, and the Eagles were to the 70s period. But the Police spoke to the fantasies of this city's majority no less than California girls and life in the fast lane. There is no denying that a great proportion of gangsta, rap, and other hip-hop could be said by classical and feminist Marxists to bolster the bourgeois values of patriarchy and homophobia. It could become true, however, that this negativity is overrepresented. Furthermore, this very criticism can be seen as a bourgeois ideological attack in itself, based upon the racism of white, middle-class feminists. This is highlighted by bell hooks. Some people act as though the sexism and misogyny of black men is more virulent, more horrific than the sexism of any other group of men. This has been happening because when white women began to engage in contemporary feminist thinking, they hadn't changed their racism in any way. Afrocentricity is a wide term to sum up, but Molefi Kidasant defines it as placing African ideals at the center of any analysis that involves African culture and behavior. Decker 1994, 111. Their aesthetic can be traced back to the last poets, 1960s black Marxist poets and rappers who variously had ties with the Black Panthers and the Nation of Islam. Where the reality rappers often portray a nihilistic nightmare of black urban life, the conscious rappers parallel these depictions with admonitions and positive advice. This is a direct attack on the ideological authority of one of the Alpha Syrian ISAs, the education system. The other major strand to Afrocentric hip-hop contains the groups who follow the teachings of the Nation of Islam and 5% Nation. These include Brand Nubian, Gangstar, Channel Live, and Paris. Although the NOI believe all whites to be irredeemably evil and call them devils, the 5%ers believe any corrupt person, black or white, is the devil. Decker 1994, 112. These black nationalist rappers often occupy a middle ground sonically and textually between gangsta and straight conscious rap. Like gangsta, they emphasize the causes of black despair and poverty, pointing the finger at equally as black-on-black violence as well as white slavery and subsequent capitalist wage slavery. Nationalist hip-hop is definitely a call to arms, an endorsement of empowerment through Montreja, education, and the soundtrack for Black Revolution, worthy 1994-39. Freedom of speech. I hope I have shown in this essay how the many different arenas that form hip-hop function in differing ways to oppose the hegemony of WASP America. In so doing, they implicitly critique the ideologies of capitalism and the values it promotes, such as meritocracy, racial equality, and freedom of speech. Trotsky once said that Marxism is the crystallized experience of the working class. Hip-hop then is surely the crystallized experience of young, black America.